WOOC correspondents Melissa Bromley and Jim Welch conducted an on-site interview with the owners of Bolsum, one of the prepared food vendors at the Troy Waterfront Farmers Market.
Remind me what the name is of your restaurant.
We don't have a restaurant. Our stand here is called Bolsum.
And
we have a catering business, which is called On a Limb. And then we have the farmer's market stand called Bolsum.
And it's Michelle and Kento.
That's right, Kenta. I'm Michelle, my husband is Kenta, and we've been doing this for about 2 years.
And is one of you the culinary genius?
Together. It's pretty shared, yeah. We have Kenta's dishes and my dishes, and we kind of each do our own thing.
What made you guys decide to start doing this?
We actually, it's a funny story. My sister is a choreographer, and she was in residence at MPAC, and she was here for about 3 weeks, and she needed food for her crew, and they give them a little per diem. So she said, do you guys want to come down and, you know, do our lunches and dinners every day? So we would like pack all this food in the car every morning and come down, and we'd deliver lunch to the theater. And it was for a dance company, so it was like a lot of salads and greens and healthy stuff. And then we would take dinner over to their house and just put it in the fridge. So when they come home, they just have to heat it up. And we did that long enough that we sort of realized, oh, this is like a thing we can do. And then that same, right around the same time, we got asked to cook for a music festival that's in our town, Music from Salem, which was a kind of similar thing, like 6 weeks over the course of the summer, artists come and they're in residence. And so we would bring them supplies for lunch and we would bring them a hot dinner every night. So it was a lot of like taking care of artists and dancers and musicians. Then we did another thing for a visual arts residency center that's also in our town called Salem Artworks. So it was like one summer we did all that stuff. I'm talking a lot, but I just think it's kind of interesting because we are both coming from a music and performance background, and we've been in lots of artist residencies over the years and had to eat whatever the food was that they supplied. So I feel like we kind of understand that experience. So it was just funny that the first year we did it, our first three big experiences were cooking for artists in residencies. It was kind of cool. Then our friends at Lucy Joe's Coffee, they were telling, because we were thinking of opening a food truck, actually. We were going to do this Japanese kind of traditional street food of a waffle, this like little waffle with red bean paste inside. Yeah. And we're going to start a food truck. And then Shelley said, oh, the market really needs prepared food vendors, and you should check that out. And it seemed like that was a much easier entry point for us.
You knew that there was a customer base,
right,
and folks who were interested, and you had Shelley's inside perspective to
Yeah.
Cool. So for the listeners, there's a lot going on. You know, we're in the middle of the farmer's market. We're watching Michelle cup avocado and Kenta delicately arrange artistically their Bolsum bowls. And it's beautiful. And people are clearly really happy to be receiving their food. And their beautiful child is here. It is very wholesome. Kenta,
yes.
Can you tell us, why the name Bolsum?
Just Michelle came up and she thought that's kind of silly, but we just kind of wanted to limit ourselves, more like a concentrate and being clear what we like to do. And then we kind of limit ourselves, okay, we're going to serve our food in a bowl. So like in a bowl, and everything's in it. So like people can walk around at the farmer's market. You don't have to sit down necessarily. So just like, you know, grain and vegetables and then sometimes meat. Everything's in the bowl. So like a wholesome, bowlsum, and it's kind of silly, but that's where.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Awesome plus wholesome and bowl.
Yeah. That's right.
And I see people, you know, coming back and returning their empty dish to you.
Thanks to the Zero, Troy Zero Waste. But without you guys, I can't do this. You know, those bowls are kind of expensive. It looks great, but like it's expensive. I mean, it's not really cost effective for us, but I think it's important that we eliminate that plastic waste from this world. But we can't do it ourselves. I mean, those compostable balls has to go to the, industrial
composting.
Yeah. And we can't do it at our backyard. So, thanks to the Troy Zero Waste, so that, you know, they can do it. I mean, without them, we are just a poser. So, like, it's great that, you know, you guys are here, Choizel Waste are here, so, like, we can collaborate. And in this way, like, I'm so grateful that, like, you, those guys are here at the Troy Farmers Market.
So just for the listeners, we have Jim Welsh here, who's sound engineering the interview. And Troy Zero Waste is at the Farmers Market every week, helping with the composting effort here. And I think Kenta was saying that without their sort of large-scale composting project, the compostable bowls that they use here at Balsam wouldn't be able to break down in their normal backyard compost.
Exactly.
Right?
Even, you know, forks and spoons and little cups, everything that compostable, you know, but has to be done at the industrial, commercial, bigger scale
facilities. Yeah. And you mentioned that there's an increased cost for using those materials. Is that something that your customers appreciate, do you think?
I'm not quite sure, actually. I don't know if they know.
I've had people say how happy they are that we're using those bowls and they really like the bowls. I mean, it's tricky because the plastic ones, especially, they're plant-based, so they do compost, but they also look like plastic, so people throw them in the recycle stream, and then I think that's not so good. So it's a little bit of a toss-up, like, what's the best choice to make? And I feel like we're just trying to navigate for us what makes sense.
Yeah.
And hope that, like, as people learn more about compostables and recyclables, that they'll be careful and get it into the right stream.
Right.
Do you advertise to customers that you're using compostable materials?
We have a small sign on the table, but it's hard because there's, like, so many things we want to communicate to the customers, you know, like where the food's coming from, that it's local, blah, blah, blah. It's hard to kind of figure out what to prioritize and how big to make the signs. Next year, maybe we'll have a bigger stand, in which case I would love to have, like, a one section of one of our front tables just be like have like a binder with pictures of the farms we work with and have, like, information about those kind of things that we care about as part of what we do. But that's in the future.
Yeah, well, it sounds like that would sort of document the whole cycle, you know, where this food is coming from before you get to enjoy it, and then where everything involved with Balsam goes afterwards. And, you know, it reminds me of what you were saying earlier about how you guys are artists and you started out serving artists. And it calls to mind sort of the connection between art and food and creativity. And, you know, we are our radio studios at the Sanctuary for Independent Media, which presents a lot of artists, but also has urban gardens and permaculture projects and composting a lot in tandem with Troy Zero Waste. So that is interesting. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
I mean, for me, all that stuff is connected. We were looking for something that would be more sustainable within the context of being artists. And at the time, my older son was homeschooling, and we were very much kind of like self-home everything in our lives. And so we wanted to be able to work at home, too, and kind of be in control of our own livelihoods. But music wasn't enough because where we live, it's pretty isolated and pretty rural, and we do pretty funky stuff. And so people kept saying, oh, you guys are really good cooks. You should sell your food. So we kind of just tried it, and it made sense. But it's also really, I think it's, there's a really nice connection between somehow like nurturing people or being creative with different kinds of materials. So food versus sound versus whatever medium you're working in. And it is creative, and it's of all the things I do that are money earning, it's sort of the most satisfying next to making art or music, because it takes a lot of the same energy, you know, a lot of the same kind of brain space to assemble food and to kind of make relationships with vendors and with farmers and to go and get things and to put them together. Like, all those steps are a process that I really enjoy, and I can include my kids in it to some extent when they wash their hands. But, you know, like, it's something we can do from home and that we're sort of in control of. And we're trying to buy the house we live in now so that we can actually put in a commercial kitchen at home.
Wow.
That's like a multi-year process, but we're at the beginning of it. And, you know, hopefully eventually get back to being able to do some music and art and some food business. Like, Kenta is a little more involved with the music side right now because he tours once a year. He goes to Europe he's going to be in New York City next week working on a piece with a dancer. So he's sort of out and about more. But yeah, we're figuring it out. We have lots of friends who've sort of gone down similar routes of like food business or some other kind of similar thing. It works somehow. It makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I feel like from my perspective, I guess I think about the emotional connection between that art and food are capable of communicating. There's like something tangible and real. When you taste good food, you know it. Mm-hmm. And the same is true a lot of times with art and music. You know, when you are able to take in music coming from a place of inspiration, mm-hmm. it comes through. You know, you can feel it.
I feel like a lot of the sound performance work that I make is very much a kind of like I do a lot of site specific work where there might just be two or three people who are the audience participants, and there's a lot of that kind of direct one-on-one exchange where I'm giving them something and they're also giving me something. And so it's very similar to how I feel when I'm working here, where I'm like preparing this food for you, I exchange it for money, but you know, there's a direct kind of back and forth and a relatedness that is also at the heart of the kind of work I make as an artist. So for me, it's really nice because it sort of keeps that part of me alive. And I think for Kenta, I can't speak for him musically, but
to what extent is the food that you serve here either homegrown or locally sourced?
Okay. Well, actually, all the veggies we're using right now is not, we don't grow it. We used to, but not past couple of years because just we have a small children. What I make is miso, which is fermented soybeans, which takes about a little over a year. So it's a fermented, and that's like a base of a lot of my sauce or many different stuff. So that's probably it. And then other vegetables, it's all local.
The miso is fermented. And do you sell it also?
No, I do not. Well, I think there's another license and other obstacles there. But because I'm selling directly, just using it as a sauce, so I can get away with it.
Thank you both so much for joining us and for sharing your creativity and your practice. Thank you, guys.